God gives you a prophetic word, but he doesn't always give you the process, right? And so it's your job to go on that journey to discover exactly what he's saying. And so I just kind of stepped into it. I've never had anyone tell me what I could not do, right? Like, maybe they did, but I didn't hear it. And I think those are trademarks of pioneers. I think it's trademarks of apostolic people that they kind of just really focus their eyes on the Father and what he's saying.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
Has God called you to be a pioneer? Has he called you to go where no one's gone or do what no one else has ever done before? And how would you know? And if you're in that situation right now, how do you navigate the unique calling and purpose God has for you? Those are some of the topics we're going to be diving into today. After it all, it is the Presence Pioneers podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, and I've got special guest, Dr. Faith Wakoma, with us today. And before we dive into the conversation with her, just want to welcome you. Those of you who are part of the podcast family, thank you so much for joining in with us, following along, sharing, subscribing, commenting, emailing, all the things you do to interact with us and show your support. We really appreciate that. And if you're new to the podcast today, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We really want to help people experience and host God's presence because we believe God's presence changes everything. So if you're passionate about worship, prayer, revival, missions, unity, these are some things that are burning in our hearts. You found the right podcast. So be sure to hit subscribe or follow wherever you're tuning in today. Dr. Faith, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to finally be here.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you are the founder of Ask Dr. Faith, which is your business. I know you're a coach, an advisor, strategist. I'm kind of reading your bio here. You work with nonprofits, religious organizations, really to help people flourish, help people succeed. And I know you and your husband, Saboma, also planted Legacy Center Church there in kind of the Raleigh area of North Carolina. So you've been pioneering. That's awesome. I think you and I met, if I remember correctly, through our mutual friend, Mike Thornton, at some point, and my family was there in the Raleigh-Durham area for a couple of years, and we got to do some interactions with having you guys and your worship team come lead worship at some events, and I got to go to some of your trainings that you were doing and that kind of thing. And so it's so great to finally get you on the podcast here.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And I don't know if you remember this, but my husband went to ECU. So we were in Greenville for a little bit. And so
At
that point, you were leading the house of prayer there. So we did come to one or two sets. I think that was their earliest. And then you guys moved towards this way. And so it's been cool to know you guys for this long.
Yeah, for sure. Well, maybe just introduce yourself. Some people will know who you are, but some people won't. So just tell us a little bit about some of your story and your ministry.
Yeah. So once again, thank you. You know, when you get this question, you're like, which angle do I go? But I'll just I'm a mom. So I have two children, 11 and 9. You know, of course, I'm married. A little backstory. I came to the Lord at 5 at a Reinhard Bonnke crusade. I always love sharing that. But I came into the gospel with just an awareness of the supernatural and the presence of God. And early on, 8, 9, just started having these encounters with the Lord. The leadership stuff, I didn't know what it was, but, you know, 15, 16, 17, just kind of leading different groups at school and helping lead the youth ministry and all of that. At about 15, I knew I wanted to be a psychologist. So I did my undergraduate in psychology. And the funny story is because I studied Freud and he was talking about dreams. And I thought that's how you interpret dreams. Well, I learned there's a better way to do it. So did my clinical psychology degree at Regent after that. And then after that, God was like, you're going to work for me. And so then I went on a journey of trying to figure what that looked like. And that's where ADF, Ask Dr. Faith, was kind of birthed. My passion was really, you know, inner healing, a little bit of deliverance, but walking people through the journey of dealing with your past so you can step into your future. Mm. And I was thrusted into the business world, online entrepreneurship, and kind of grew in that. And then about 2 years into that, the Lord really laid it on our heart to plant a church. Because a lot of the people that we were mentoring and coaching were like, if you guys had a church, we would come, and we didn't want to. And, you know, God, you know, all these signs. And finally we said yes. And it's been wonderful.
Yeah. How many pioneers have said, I don't really want to do this. And God says, yep, this is what you're called to do.
I'm always leery of people who are like so excited, you know, when they come like, are you sure? You know, you need to have a holy reverence and a little bit of, you know, not necessarily anxiety, but just a good fear about what you're stepping into.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, obviously we're the Presence Pioneers podcast, so we're passionate about the presence of God. And we also believe that God's wanting to raise up those who have the heart like David, who will create places for his glory, his presence, his kingdom, wherever they are.
Yeah.
For you, what role has worship and prayer and the presence of God played? I really want to get into the pioneering stuff, but let's start with the presence stuff, because I know that you're a passionate worshiper and we're even a worship leader in previous seasons. And so, like, how did that passion develop in you and what role has that played in your ministry?
I love that question. And I love worship. Absolutely love it. So, yeah, you know, just once again, I feel like a lot of times God is preparing us even from the time that we're really young, and the big picture comes together early, right? So just loved musical, started singing when I was 8, playing the violin, and then getting into high school, just being part of musicals and doing all these different things, just loved any opportunity to sing. It wasn't until I got to college where I went to a historically Black college with all women. So I always joke and say most of them could sing, right? And so I'm in there and I'm just like, but I don't sound like everybody else. I'm like, Lord, what is it that you're doing with my voice? And the Lord, the first ever prophetic word I ever got, I had not gotten a prophetic word until I was 19. And we grew up in a Missionary Alliance church, which is amazing, Bible-based. And then we were part of a Missionary Baptist church when we moved from Pittsburgh to North Carolina. And now I was in a church that called it Full Gospel, but they were literally in revival. The presence of God was falling. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first ever prophetic word I got was, you were made for worship. And I was like, okay. And so then that put me on a journey to start exploring what that meant for me. And I realized, I think being born in Africa and just having a passion for diverse sounds, that it wasn't going to be like a normal gospel singing trajectory that's expected of maybe a Black female, right? The Lord was taking all my years of different experiences and weaving it into a sound. And so when I got to Regent, this was the time of Jason Upton and Adam Cates. And, you know, Adam Cates used to host worship at his house. And so that was just really a time of developing a sound and what that felt like. And really, it's been my joy to kind of introduce prophetic worship and just really singing out of your heart and what God is saying over people to a people that are amazing singers, but generally stick within kind of like a confounds and a structure. So our church worship culture has also been built on that. We do 2 songs, but in between, there's a lot of free flow and a lot of prophetic singing and worship.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. When you guys would bring your worship teams to the burn gatherings we would do, people were always so expectant. It was such a unique sound, such a unique expression.
Yeah,
I would say there was a warfare dimension to it as well. There's like an aggressiveness to it in the spirit that was really cool as well. Mm. And I think that speaks to something I was going to ask you about later, but I'll just go ahead and mention now that I really appreciate about you is your ability to pull from multiple places and to glean from different streams in the body of Christ, or even like the way you've gleaned from so many different streams in the body of Christ. And even we were talking about earlier before we hit record about how you're just pulling from business principles and how does that apply to the church and things like that. I'm curious, where did that come from in you? Just that desire or interest in kind of, most people kind of find their lane and stay in it, but you're like all over the place in a really cool way.
Yeah, that's a really good point, right? Because I thought, you know, an undergrad and college, I'm thinking I'm going to get out of school. I'm going to be a minister. You know, God called me at 15. I knew that I was called to ministry and I was just going to own maybe a therapeutic center of some sort. And one thing that I've noticed that's really cool is when you're yielded, God can really unfold what he wants for you, even if it's never been done before. So when, you know, God was saying, you're going to work for me. And I'm like, okay, I have these ginormous school loans. I have a whole doctorate. This is not like I just went to an undergrad. So what is this going to look like? And I think, you know, being in that place required a bit of innovation. And so I just had this inquisitiveness and all of this, I guess, searching to figure out. God gives you a prophetic word, but he doesn't always give you the process, right? And so it's your job to go on that journey to discover exactly what he's saying. And so on the business end, that's what it was. I was looking for prototypes. I was looking for people who were doing what I thought I was going to do. And I would find some that were almost there, but not just likely it. And so I just kind of stepped into it. I've never had anyone tell me what I could not do, right? Like maybe they did, but I didn't hear it. And I think those are trademarks of pioneers. I think it's trademarks of apostolic people that they kind of just really focus their eyes on the Father and what he's saying. So as I started business, I didn't realize I was as good of a teacher as I am, right? I thought, okay, I'm going to counseling and, you know, coaching and all of that. But the teaching gift really rose up when I stepped out. It wasn't very clear until I said yes. And that helped really shape that business. And within the business, of course, for those that are in small businesses, they say niche down. That's the best way to grow your audience. But I was like, I'm not just a business owner. I'm a preacher. I'm a prophet first, right? And that is my assignment. And I didn't want to do something for a marketing tactic. I wanted to do what God was saying to do. And in some ways, I think that maybe has hindered our growth. God has done amazing things, but I couldn't just get with, I'm just going to teach on one topic because this is what the marketing experts do. Like, I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. And so that's kind of how it has evolved to being multiple lanes.
I never thought about the relation between that curiosity or even that tendency and pioneering. But the truth is, you're right. It's like, if you've got to do something that's different, you know, but you go, well, I like a little bit of what they're doing, a little bit of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of try to experiment and figure out how to put it together in order to move forward with what God's given you to do. And I found myself doing very similar things over the years with ministry where I go, well, kind of like that, but not quite. And kind of like that, but not quite. And for some reason, I've never made those connections before. So that's fascinating. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So you guys, I know you have a gathering called the Pioneers Gathering or Pioneers Conference. Was that just recently you hosted your last one? How did that go?
It was phenomenal. I was really happy about this one because when it comes to events or conferences, so part of my passion in the kingdom is just reconciliation. I believe that the bride of Christ is multicultural and all of that. So trying to get different voices in a room, it sometimes works out really great. And sometimes you can't get all the voices. So this last one was really great. We had some amazing speakers from all different streams, and it was good. And it wasn't always the Pioneers Conference. When I started ministry at 25, I got this prophetic word that I was a Deborah, and I kept getting that word, which most prophetic women get. But I decided to do a study. And so out of it came worship, warfare, and leadership. That's what, you know, Deborah was all about. So it started out as warring women. And then the men were like, well, what about us? Because they were hanging out, they were helping us. And so we just moved it to warring ministries and would have different conferences. But then my husband, when I met him and we got married, we're like, you know what? We love leadership. We love developing pioneers. And so it's been the Pioneers Conference for the last 9 or so years. And it's just to give people language on how to dominate in whatever sphere of influence they're called to.
Love it. All right. So let's get into it a little bit with the pioneering here. What would you say are some signs, maybe indicators? I think you mentioned one or two earlier already, but what are some that maybe God is calling someone to be a pioneer, to launch something, to start something, to go? I like to say, go where no one's gone or do what no one's done before.
Yeah, I love that question.
Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
I would say you seem ahead of the times, right? And so you have ideas, you have thoughts that sometimes people feel like, you know, where are you getting that from? Or is that even really possible? I think you try to fit in, but it's very difficult for you to fit in. You try to go with the norm, but you are made to really go upstream. I think you have a quick bounce back when it comes to things like rejection. And, you know, there's not this huge fear of man thing when you look at apostolic people, when you look at pioneers. I think that you have great resilience when somebody is a pioneer. They know how to bounce back and keep going. And they're very futuristic. They're always thinking about the future, what's coming, what is it going to look like? So those are the six or so that I can think of right at the off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. This might be an interesting question, but I know you're kind of also in psychology, so it's a perfect question for you. How much of this is like personality? You know, because I love all the different kind of personality types and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
How much of this is sort of like people's personality tendencies? Because you kind of have like entrepreneurial people that just want to start things and do new things. I mean, how much of this is personality? How much of this is sort of God's grace? Because sometimes God calls us to do things that are outside of what seems to be our natural gifting. So how does all that work out? Or how do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think that God wires you from your mother's womb with your destiny in mind. And so I believe that our personality types are very much connected to our purpose. I've done a bit of work around looking at the DISC. There's the Myers-Briggs. We use just a simple temperament test that looks at choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholies, and really been able to correlate what gift sets, what spiritual gift sets are usually prevalent based on your temperament. And so when we're talking about pioneers and builders, those are generally, right? Nothing is ever like 100%. Those are going to be the melancholies, which are the intuitives, which sometimes people don't think people with a melancholy or quieter demeanor or introvert, if you'd rather use that word, are leaders or apostles, but they're actually some of the greatest leaders, even when you look in corporate, right? And then you, of course, have the obvious charismatic, dominant personalities that generally people think of them as leaders. But you can see how both of those temperaments have sets of gifts, spiritual gifts, as well as natural gifts that will incline them towards leadership. So I think that it's very much connected. I think that God wires us intentionally, what we're good at, what drives us. And there's so many ways to look at it. You can look at internal motivation versus external. You know, different temperaments and personalities are driven by certain things. You know, people are like, leaders can be made. And I believe it in a sense, but they have to want to be made, right? They have to want to have this eternal drive. But the apostles, the prophets, they're really apostolic prophets, because not all apostles are administrative and leadership. I think there's a lot that's more nature than nurture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've asked that similar question before. Do you think leaders are born or made, you know? And I do think it's some combination of both, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as familiar with that personality typing that you were talking about with the, say something more about the melancholy type of personality.
Yeah. So we give this test all the time because it's open to the public. It's open source. You don't have to be trained to do it. It's just the four temperaments. And, you know, just kind of like with all the other temperaments, research looking, you know, has evolved it over the years. You have the melancholy temperament, which most of us have. We have two temperaments that make us up, right? So you're probably a choleric melancholy, which is what my husband is. And melancholies are generally very thoughtful. They take a while to make a decision, but once they've made it, they're very committed to it. They're very detail oriented. They love really, really deep. It takes a some time for them to open up, but when they do, they're really in there. But they can obsess over perfection, and they can struggle with faith because they want to take a risk, but they don't have everything lined up. And so they don't know if they're going to be able to take that risk. So those are some of the melancholy traits. Most of my best friends, and like I said, my husband has that trait. My husband also has a choleric trait, which is my trait as well. So choleric sanguine. So we tell couples when we do premarital counseling and everything, generally you want, when you're looking at a spouse, to have one temperament that is the same. And then the Lord generally will put you with somebody who has total opposite temperaments. And I say so that it could perfect you, so it can make you more like him, right?
Yeah.
So both my husband and I are clerics, which are very driven people, can be domineering, are very checklist, you know, big vision, go, 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 right? But then on the other hand, I'm a sanguine, which is, you know, love to be the center of attention, artistic, creative, you know, colorful, which is very opposite of the melancholy, right? Which is, you know, I always joke, melancholies can wear white and never get a stain on them. And me, the sanguine's like, it's a mess, right? So that's just kind of how it has showed up. And we actually use that to train our leaders as well as one of the initial tests to see how they function.
Yeah, so interesting. Cool. That's really neat. Thank you for sharing that. That was one of the last questions I put on the list. I'm glad I asked it because that's fascinating. I love thinking about that kind of stuff. Hey, I want to talk more about pioneering. I want to pull on the thread of apostolic ministry. You've kind of brought that up a few times. We talked a little bit about that on the podcast, but I think when you start looking at the biblical definitions, I think that's what you begin to see is the idea of being an apostle or apostolic ministry. But I want to do some of that in part two here. And so I want to make sure we have plenty of time for that. But before we shift over to the second part, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about your business and your ministry. I know you have a lot of resources, you have a lot of products and different things that I'm sure you've already piqued some people's interest even in this conversation. So just share a little bit about what you have to offer if people kind of want to, glean from your resources.
Thank you so much for giving me that opportunity. So one of the best ways is just following on socials. It's Faith and then Wokoma, W-O-K-O-M-A. And then our website is AskDrFaith.com. As we were talking about the characteristics of the pioneer, I was thinking specifically about my book Marked, which kind of gives, 22 ways to know that you're marked and set apart. So if you follow us anywhere, you will see all of the amazing things that we have coming up, some free webinars that we're teaching in this coming year, as well as some strategy sessions in January to help ministers and businesses get focused for the year. So they'll be showing up.
Wonderful. Cool. Well, we'll put the link down in the description, down in the show notes, so people can connect with you. And I assume you'll do a 2025 Pioneers Gathering. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. We try to do a second week in November.
So we'll keep that on the radar as well. We're going to keep going and want to invite you to tune in to part two, which the link will be down in the description for that as well. And that will be exclusively for our paid subscribers. And so if you'd like to get twice as much podcast content, as well as some exclusive access to articles, discounts on books and things like that, you can become a paid subscriber. And that's the reason we're able to produce this podcast and offer you the free resources, is because of our amazing paid subscribers. Dr. Faith, this has been great. Thank you.
Thank you.